Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Reividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and streaming audio on the internet at ktym.com.
Laiškų kampai sudužo, užsnūdusi naktis, miškų tremtinį pinta. Namų aidai užkimę, mirtis žiedais gelmėn, Dubysos krenta. Laiškų kampai sudužo, užsnūdusi naktis.
Well, thanks again for tuning in to Independent Lithuanian Radio this Saturday. We opened up there with a little snippet from Brolė, which is, for lack of a better term, it's sort of a folk rock opera about the Forest Brothers, the Partizanai, and it's an album put together by Skylė, Aistė Smilgevičiūtė and Skylė. Her haunting voice is sort of the center of the band. However, that was her husband, Rokas, there doing the opening lines, and he's talking about the Dubysa, which is a river in Lithuania, and the Dubysa River Valley was notorious and famous for hiding for many years the Partizanai, the Forest Brothers, in bunkers along the banks of the Dubysa River. And he also mentions how the letters from home have quit coming, and the echoes of home are disappearing as the resistance drags on in the woods, the hills, and dales of Lithuania after the Soviet occupation. Back then, they didn't call them Soviets either. Bolsheviks was the common term, and as fear spread through the countryside and tens of thousands of people were deported, the resistance doubled down. Anyway, this month, June, is the commemoration of the first huge deportation, which happened in 1941, Birželio, Baisusis Birželis, the terrible June deportations of 1941. These were literally stopped dead in their tracks when the Germans, the Nazis, invaded Lithuania and the Soviets retreated. You know, two nights of terror were stopped. However, when the Germans ultimately lost the war and the Germans retreated back towards their home ground and the Bolsheviks came back, everyone knew what was coming. More deportations, murders, and killings. And the remnants of the Lithuanian army retreated to the woods and formed the Partizanai. Anyway, we'll be talking about those kind of themes all of this month. Not that we don't talk about them at other times, but we here at Independent Lithuanian Radio think it's worth remembering, especially when we come to realize that these deportations were not a one-time event, that they went on and on for two decades, practically. Some of the largest deportations happened in the late 1940s, and some smaller ones still continued into the 50s. And the Forest Brothers resistance, as a matter of fact, that's documented that some of the last of them were captured or gave themselves up in the 1960s. Okay? We were welcoming the Beatles to the United States, and there were still now old, tired, worn-out men in the woods of Lithuania who were finally giving up. Switching gears, we always tell you about the weather in Lithuania, and it's pleasantly warm, but in Lithuania, with the humidity being what it is, 72, 73 degrees can be downright hot, and that's what it was today. It was 75 degrees in the capital, Vilnius, and tomorrow it will be 72, and it's flat out 72 for the next 10 days. 72 degrees in the capital of Lithuania, and lows at night in the middle 50s. A couple of events you might want to take note of, and that is the 15th of June, next week, Saturday evening next week, out in Agua Dulce, which is a good hour and 15 minutes out of Metro LA. Agua Dulce will be the Bardo Festivales. It's a singer-songwriter festival, and there will be several guests performing with guitars and the like, and they will be presenting their music to you, and it will be at the ranch, which is owned by our very own Aloysius Pechulis, and that's at 35885 Bass Rock Road. Bass is like the fish, okay? B-A-S-S, rock. You know what a rock is. That's one word. Bass Rock Road, 35885. Google up the map or look at your old Thomas guide if that's what you're still using. 35885 Bass Rock Road, or your navigation system, 35885 Bass Rock Road. Starts at 6 in the evening, and you're going to have a great time. It's $30 to get in, and there'll be food that you can buy. You can, of course, bring your own. You should bring a tent and a sleeping bag, okay, because you are invited to spend the night and camp out there on the ranch. And if you come at 4 o'clock, you can do a little horseback riding, too. Because, after all, it is a horse ranch, and you will be privy to private riding lessons and have a great time enjoying yourself outdoors at the Agua Dulce Ranch, again, which belongs to Aloysius Pechulis. Once again, the address is 35885 Bass Rock Road. One word, in beautiful Agua Dulce, California. And hopefully we'll see you there Saturday night on the 15th of June next week. Now, if you speak Lithuanian, you may be interested in a play. It's starring Birutė Mar and Aleksas Kazanavičius, and they'll be playing Jonas Biliūnas and his wife, Julia, who were writers, artists in Lithuania. And this play is based on their relationship and their letters to each other, and the work that they, their creativity. Again, of course, it's in Lithuanian, so we want to make sure that you understand that. But if you have a grasp of the language, it's going to be a nice cultural evening. And that'll be the 23rd of June. That's Sunday at noon, the 23rd of June, Sunday at noon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall in the main auditorium. The St. Casimir's Parish grounds are at the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Street. The corner has the church on it, and the hall is also accessible from 3855 Evans Street on the other end of the block. The name of the play is Jis ir Ji. That's him and her. Okay, him and her, Jis ir Ji, next 2 weeks, June 23rd at noon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets. For more information, call 323-360-7786. There will be an admission charge. Call for info, 323-360-7786. Finally, before we go to break, we want to thank you all out there for your continued support. Our promotion for $100 or more, where we send you a copy of the DVD, The Other Dream Team, has been quite successful, and we hope it continues to be, and we're more than happy to forward you a copy of that DVD made by our very own Marius Markavičius. Again, it's a great DVD to have, not only in your own library, but as a gift that you can give all your English-speaking friends and those of other ethnicities that don't quite know the recent history of Lithuania, you know, the end of the Soviet occupation and the movement for liberty and freedom, and how that evolved, and how Lithuania sort of presented itself to the world in the form of winning a bronze medal in the 92 Olympics, barely a year after the world recognized Lithuania's independence. A fascinating film. And again, those of you who support Independent Lithuanian Radio, $100 will help keep us on the air, and we'll get you a copy of that DVD. We want to thank those who have supported us again. Viltis Jatulis. Viltis has supported us for years. Thank you so much, Viltis. Appreciate your generous support. Want to thank the Basulis Trust. Thank you, Acho. I know you listen, Danuta, and thanks again for your support. Janet Damiano. Janet, thank you. It's always nice to run into you at St. Casimir's. And Lily Kaminskas, with a very surprising and very generous check. Lily Kaminskas. Acho tau, acho jums visiems. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back. And that was an excerpt from the fourth track on the CD, Brole, about the Partizane Forest Brothers. And that was the haunting voice of Aiste Smilgevičiūtė. And that song is called Pinavija. And Pinavija is a beautiful, large flower that blooms in the late spring, early summer in the fields of Lithuania. And she's asking that the land and the flowers bless the young fighting men who are risking their lives for freedom, and she specifically refers to how she wants that those that have fallen in the battle on the frozen lake be blessed by the flowers. So let's get some historical perspective on this whole thing, okay? Again, remember the Soviets had already invaded Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia in 1940, so they've already been occupied. They had fake elections, they put in a new government, and then what is infamously known as the Serov Instructions on the procedure for carrying out the deportation of anti-Soviet elements from Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. These contain details and instructions on how to proceed in the deportation of Baltic nationals. Okay, and now it became okay for the underground communist parties in Lithuania and Latvia and Estonia to emerge. And it turned out that there were 1,500 members in Lithuania, 500 in Latvia, and only 133 members in Estonia. Okay, so all in all, there was like 2,100 official communists who emerged during this period. Well, so immediately they began to arrest hostile elements. In the first year of Soviet occupation, from June 1940 to the deportations in June 41, okay, the number confirmed executed or deported was a minimum official numbers now. Okay, there's a lot of discussion and a little bit of disagreement on these numbers, but the minimum number, okay, is 124,467, about 60,000 in Estonia, about 34,000 in Latvia, and 30,485 in Lithuania. Most of this happened over the course of a couple of nights in June of 1941. These numbers include 8 former heads of state and 38 ministers from Estonia, 3 former heads of state and 15 ministers from Latvia, and then the president, 5 prime ministers, and 24 other ministers from Lithuania. The first large-scale operation for the second deportation was planned on the night of June 27th, 28th. But it was postponed because the Germans invaded. Okay, so again, what about the Forrest brothers? Why did everybody resist and fight? Because once 1944 rolled around and the Bolshevik communists came back, people knew what was awaiting them. They knew their fate. According to an historian, Robert Conquest, the selective deportations from the Baltic states represented the policy which he called decapitation of the nation by removing its political and social elite. Okay, that was the idea. Get rid of anyone who thought for themselves, believed in liberty, teachers, school teachers, anyone involved with the government, that's it. Okay, so that, in essence, was the motivation for the guerrilla movement. All three countries had Partizani, they had Forest Brothers, but it was best organized in Lithuania. Guerrilla units controlled whole regions of the countryside until 1949. They had Czech Skoda guns, Russian Maxim heavy machine guns, assorted mortars, wide variety of mainly German and Soviet light machine guns, and submachine guns. When not in direct battles with the Red Army, They significantly delayed the consolidation of Soviet rule through ambush, sabotage, assassination of local communist activists and officials. They freed imprisoned guerrillas, and they printed underground newspapers. They often faced torture and execution, while their relatives faced deportation to Siberia. Reprisals against pro-Soviet farms and villagers by them were harsh. The NKVD units, named People's Defense Platoons, known by Lithuanians as Stribai, used shock tactics to discourage further resistance, such as displaying executed partisans' corpses in village courtyards. A few days after the arrest and torture and murder in October of Adolfas Ramanauskas Vanagas, who was a chief commander of the Union of Lithuanian Freedom Fighters, the report by the KGB wrote that the right eye is covered with a hematoma. On the eyelid, there are 6 stab wounds made, judging by their diameter, by a thin wire or nail going deep into the eyeball. Multiple hematomas in the area of the stomach, a cut wound on the finger of the right hand. The genitalia reveal a large tear wound on the right side of the scrotum and a wound on the left side. Both testicles are missing. Jozas Lukša was among those who managed to escape to the West. He wrote his memoirs there and was killed after he returned to Lithuania in 1951. Another Pranas Končius was the last Lithuanian anti-Soviet resistant fighter killed in action by Soviet forces in July of 1965. Benediktas Mikulis, one of the last known partisans to remain in the woods, emerged in 1971. He was arrested in the 1980s and still spent several years in prison. Anyway, by the early 1950s, Soviet forces had eradicated most of the Forrest Brother resistance. Intelligence gathered by spies in the West and KGB infiltrators within the resistant movement, in a combination with large-scale Soviet operations in 1952, pretty much managed to end the campaigns. Many of the remaining Forrest Brothers laid down weapons when offered amnesty by Soviet authorities when Stalin died in 1953. But again, isolated engagement continued into the 1960s. And as we just stated, the last individual evaded capture into the 1980s. In the end, as a result of the deportations and terror on the Lithuanian people, the resistance movement known as the Forrest Brothers, the Partizanai, is now recognized as the longest and most successful resistance movement in Europe. It's just one of the reasons why we must never forget. We'll be right back with other news from Lithuania and the Baltics.
Jurgilai prausdamiesliau ne margom langiniam sakė. Aštuoni, bet jėgos jų išsako. Tada atsėlino naktis, šalčių užmigdė pievas, tamsoj tylėjimų sunkių.
I can't say it enough, the haunting voice of Aistė Smilgevičiūtė. Other news from Lithuania, the poorest people are in Panevėžys. How do you like that? And the best situation is in Klaipėda. After computing the misery index of the 5 largest cities in Lithuania, Vilnius, Kaunas, Klaipėda, Panevėžys, and Šiauliai, it was revealed that the worst economic situation is in Panevėžys, says the latest survey by SEB Bank. The misery index, widely used by economists for decades, is computed by taking the sum of the unemployment rate and the inflation rate for a given period. According to this index, it's a bit better situation for the households of Kaunas than in Vilnius and Šiauliai, and it is the best in Klaipėda. The survey shows that income per capita, including wages, pensions, and other benefits, is the lowest at 178 euros. It's about $200 in Panevėžys. The city also faces the highest unemployment rate, almost 12% unemployment in the last month of April. Residents' decisions on accumulating and holding assets or taking out loans show that residents tend to make long-term financial plans. They also expect more favorable economic situations or at least more stability in the near future. Improving expectations are noticeable when analyzing the changes in financial assets, liabilities, yet the growth rate of consumption is still slow. Bottom line is that, albeit that Panevėžys is sort of at the bottom of the pack, that people are optimistic about the future. Well, if you go back about 8 years, Lithuania was just about first in line to join the euro of the Baltic states. The economy had been growing fast after the country regained independence, and it was planning to be on par with the currency of the euro in January 2007. But in 2006, the EU Commission took an unprecedented decision and said Lithuania was not ready, was not fit to join, that inflation was too high because it stood at 3.5% and the target was 2.7. That bump was due to a hike in gas prices, feeding speculation that Russia was ultimately to blame for the euro blockade. Lithuania had been heavily dependent on Russian gas imports, as it is now since shutting down its Soviet-era nuclear plant in Ignalina in order to join the EU. In 2011, Estonia became the first Baltic state to therefore join the euro, and neighboring Latvia is on track to make the same step early next year. Well, despite these setbacks, Lithuania is pressing ahead with its second attempt, looking at 2015 as the target date. At the time, there was political unwillingness to enlarge the eurozone. I think probably it was a miscalculation because Lithuania at that time was responsible in its fiscal policy, said President Dalia Grybauskaitė. She, at that time, was an EU commissioner. Struck hard by the financial and economic crisis of 2009, Lithuania saw its economy shrink by 15%. But we managed without any bailouts, Grybauskaitė said. We didn't ask anybody to help, except, of course, the EU structural funds that had been agreed on long before. She gave up her commissioner post in 2009 to become president. In 2 years, we consolidated 12% of our GDP. It was painful, but we managed it so fast that in 2 years we started to grow again, and now in the first quarter of this year we had 3.6% growth, Grybauskaitė added. While the president is still popular, the center-right government was voted down last year and replaced with a coalition of liberal and center-left parties. Finance Minister Rimantas Sadžius, Social Democrat, told news sources that the government is committed to meeting the 2015 deadline. This contrasts with its neighbor and regional powerhouse, Poland, which is waiting to see how the euro crisis plays out in the rest of Europe. Sadžius goes on to say that we have pegged our currency to the euro since 2002, and before that it was pegged to the dollar just 1 year after Litas was introduced in 1993. So we have no monetary instrument in our toolbox. The only logical option is to change this quasi-euro into a real euro. He admitted that with Estonia already a eurozone member and Latvia joining next year, there is also a certain external pressure to not be the only Baltic state outside the common currency zone. Adopting the euro will boost foreign investment, he says, and create more jobs in the country. This time around, the minister said, Lithuania will make it to the euro. Quote, there are huge differences now compared to 2006. The size of the construction sector is smaller, and we are now exporting quite intensely, and there is no problem of a current account deficit. Lithuania is also taking steps to become more energy independent. It will open a liquefied natural gas terminal in 2015 and is exploring the possibility of extracting shale gas to reduce its dependency on Russian energy supplies. Let's hope so. There is opposition, however. Meanwhile, support among Lithuanians for the euro has dropped below 50%. A referendum is not required, however. We had a referendum in 2003 about EU membership, which also includes Euro membership. But, of course, we need to explain to the people. So instead of a referendum, we will have an information campaign, said the finance minister. As for Lithuania contributing to bailouts of richer countries, Sajis said Euro membership has advantages, but it also has obligations. We can persuade people that this is an investment rather than an expense, he said. But for Vytautas Žukauskas, an economist with the Vilnius-based Free Market Institute, Euro membership is not a good idea. I am skeptical about the Euro, he says. Lithuania needs a stable and reliable currency, but the path the Euro is taking is not that now. There is lack of discipline and huge lack of structural reforms. The European Central Bank is increasing the money supply. In the long run, there are no strong growth prospects. Instead, the path they are taking is the redistribution of wealth. And under the heading, It Never Ends, the Lithuanian Intelligence Service has finally specified Russia and Belarus as countries operating in Lithuania, says Arvydas Anušauskas, a member of the Parliamentary National Security and Defense Committee. It has finally been said clearly what countries, first of all, Russia and Belarus, operate on the territory of Lithuania with the help of their special services. I think that the clarity, which has been constantly declared by Estonia's security police in its report for the past 15 years, is crucial to make our society understand the difficult conditions our intelligence community has to work under, said Anušauskas in a report published on Friday. The document reads that Russian services exercise technical means and human contact to collect information, get connections in Lithuanian institutions, and attempt to influence decisions made by Lithuanian state institutions and companies. Via public and political organizations operating in Lithuania, efforts are made to instigate ethnic, social, and ideological hatred, with the unfavorable foreign activities expected to become more active in the coming few years, reads the report. This year's report also specifies methods of Russian intelligence and security service operations. The instruments against Lithuania include electronic intelligence, cyber spying, and unconventional cover, the State Security Department said, adding that Russian intelligence has technical means for controlling phone conversations of persons they are interested in. According to the document, Russian services 2012 continued their efforts to make contacts with representatives of state institutions, political parties, media companies, research centers, high-tech companies, and ethnic minorities. The contacts are not only used for collecting information, but also for a coordination and control of organizations and persons representing Russian interests. And finally, on a lighter note before we go, Baltic business people find time for sports. Latvians dedicate less time to physical activities than their Estonian counterparts. However, they are more active than their Lithuanian colleagues. Gym visits are the most popular physical activity among Latvian business people. Estonians like cross-country skiing, Lithuanians swimming. The study shows that Estonian business people are the most active when it comes to doing sports. 68% of them do sports at least 3 to 4 hours a day, compared to 44% in Latvia and 41% in Lithuania. Lithuanian business people are the most inactive. 21% of them do not do sports. Anyway, this is Kęstutis Deividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. We really appreciate your listening, and hope that you take a moment or two to remember or talk to someone who's older, who's lived in Lithuania. Talk about the events that happened the Second World War, and the events that ultimately led to the freedom of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia in 1991. It's a good time to review these things. Once again, Kęstutis Deividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio. Tune in every week at noon and tell your friends to listen live on the internet at www.ktym.com. Bye-bye.
Клаю vienas tyga, dangas, laukia savo sūnas, lietas.